The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Inevitable Tremor, where we will investigate the truth about earthquakes and the next big one.
Welcome back. I am your host, DJ Tremor. In this episode, Tsunami Power, we will discuss the earthquake that rattled the northeast coast of Japan and its massive tsunami, as well as the significance of early warning systems and being prepared. So let's talk about the 2011 earthquake. The Tohoku earthquake of 2011 in Japan recorded at a moment magnitude of 9.1, causing a massive tsunami that put the country in a state of emergency. The quake and following tsunami ragefully swept into coastal areas, destroyed homes, and devastated the community. The catastrophic earthquake was the biggest magnitude ever recorded in Japan and the third strongest globally since 1900. So a little bit about the Tohoku region is that it belongs to Japan's Honshu Island, where it's known for its volcanoes, mountainous terrain, and skiing. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the 2011 event resulted from thrust faulting on the subduction zone plate boundary between the Pacific and North American plates. Several foreshocks occurred in the 2 days preceding the March 11th earthquake, beginning on March 9th with a magnitude 7.4 event, approximately 25 miles from the epicenter of the March 11th earthquake, and continuing with three more earthquakes greater than magnitude 6 on the same day. The tsunami flooded 216 square miles, or about the half area of San Antonio, Texas, of land along the Pacific coast of Japan, and affected more than 600,000 residents, or about half the population of Hawaii, and killed 3.5% of them. Now I'd like to have a brief shout out to the videos online. Although I cannot share a video on an episode, I wanted to let you know that there is surreal and insane video footage of the tsunami flowing towards an airport runway, specifically the Sendai Airport, and even recording of survivors helping each other get to higher ground. The shocking footage is a reminder of the severity of earthquakes and the risks that lie ahead in coastal areas around the world. So what are tsunamis? A tsunami, Japanese for harbor wave, is a series of massive waves caused by earthquakes or volcanic eruptions under the sea. According to the National Geographic Society, the Tohoku tsunami produced waves up to 132 feet high. In the videos online, the tsunami wave is so large that it was able to breach the city walls and pour into the inner town. As a fateful result, over 450,000 people were left homeless and over 18,000 died. The tsunami also weakened the country's infrastructure. And to make matters worse, the tsunami caused the meltdown of three nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, often referred to as the number one. The Fukushima nuclear disaster released toxic radioactive materials into the environment and forced thousands of people to evacuate their homes and businesses. This aftermath effect became the second worst nuclear accident in the history of nuclear power generation. If you know, you know. Well, how is the speed of tsunamis determined? Well, the speed and height of tsunami waves depends on the ocean's depth. When compared to earlier post-1900 plate boundary thrust fault earthquakes in the southern Japan trench, the March 11, 2011 earthquake was significantly greater than any of its predecessors, none of which reached magnitude 8. A comparable forerunner could have occurred on July 13, 1869, when a gigantic tsunami rushed across the Sendai region, as confirmed by Japanese scholars using written documents and a sand sheet. Next, I'd like to give you a little tectonic summary. The North America Plate, Pacific Plate, Philippine Sea Plate, and Eurasia Plate all influence the tectonic setting of Japan, Taiwan, and the surrounding area. Since 1973, the Japan Trench Subduction Zone has been responsible for 9 events of magnitude 7 or greater. The largest of them happened to come in at magnitude 7.8, and just about 161 miles north of the March 11th epicenter, causing 3 fatalities and 700 injuries in December 1994. And in June 1978, a magnitude 7.7 earthquake about 21.75 miles to the southwest of the March 11th epicenter caused 22 fatalities and more than 400 injuries. For greater reference, large offshore earthquakes have occurred in the same subduction zone in 1611, 1896, and 1933 that each produced devastating tsunami waves on the Sanriku coast of Pacific Northeast Japan. In 1941, a tsunami warning organization was established for the Sanriku coast. The tsunami forecasting chart was created empirically. Following the Meteorological Business Act of 1952, the forecasting system was made to cover the whole coast of Japan. Well, how prepared was Japan in 2011? At the time, Japan was considered one of the most prepared countries in the world to deal with tsunami events. In one sense, the belief held true. The 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake, referred to the scientific community as the Sumatra Andaman earthquake, was a magnitude 9.0 to 9.3, and it killed 220,000 people, while the 2011 earthquake caused over 18,000 fatalities. Both events are likely similar in the sizes of the earthquake and the tsunami height. And a sizable difference in fatalities can be described by the difference in the level of preparedness. After the 1990s, many Japanese local governments began to implement tsunami hazard maps prepared from numerical simulations. A hazard map shows the flooded area by past tsunamis and by the most likely tsunami coming soon. The hazard maps being implemented comprise the list of shelters where people may evacuate, the predicted inundation zones, and survival instructions. Remarkably, the coastal residents routinely conducted workshops and evacuation exercises to identify high-risk regions by using the government-issued hazard map. For example, the immediate action for the people living in coastal communities was to find higher ground. In the response to the 2011 Great East Japan earthquake and tsunami disaster, it said in the Sanriku coastal communities, people were taught the lesson tsunami tendenko, which means that people should run without taking care of others, even family members. This made me remember the safety demonstration on board an airplane, and a flight attendant advises you to put on your oxygen mask before helping others. This has a simple rationale. What good do you serve if you can't optimally function and help others? Anyways, this phrase teaches us the importance of making individual decisions and taking personal responsibility, giving yourself the best chance of survival. When thinking about tsunamis, one question that prompts my mind, what would really happen if a tsunami hit the Bay Area? Well, in the 2015 Hollywood big-budget film San Andreas, there was a terrifying scene of a 250-foot-high tsunami wave raging toward the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, although tsunamis occasionally hit our shores, tsunamis do not pose a great threat to the Bay Area. Tsunamis result from the process known as subduction, when one tectonic plate slides underneath another. This slow movement occurs all the time, but sometimes a plate will get stuck, and pressure starts to build. When it breaches through, what happens is an underwater earthquake that can maneuver the seafloor up and down, sending the wave to the surface of the ocean. Fortunately, the San Andreas Fault is not capable of such action, as it is classified as a strike slip fault. As a refresher, this fault is when two plates slide past each other horizontally. And for reference, since 1854, more than 71 tsunamis have been recorded in the San Francisco Bay. And most of these were generated by earthquakes in subduction zones near Russia, Japan, or Alaska. Well, going back to the historic 2011 tsunami that ravaged sections of Japan, it actually came into the East Bay 10 hours later, measuring just over a foot in height and causing millions of dollars in damage in Crescent City.
Now I'd like to talk about early warning systems. They are important because they can tell people in the vicinity of a natural disaster to evacuate and also send out amber alerts. Now, remember I talked about the MyShake app, which is an earthquake alert app that is available publicly in 3 western U.S. states, including California, Oregon, and Washington. My personal experience with this app is positive, as I was able to record what I felt. But it's important to note that only 4.5 magnitude or greater earthquakes are alerted via this app. Another recommendation is to follow the USGS Earthquakes account on social platforms to see the latest updates on earthquakes and confirm what you have felt too. Next, I want to share about the Maui fires of August 2023, which was a natural disaster of wildfires that devastated the downtown area of Lahaina. It was reported that the local government in Hawaii did send out an evacuation alert, but that drew skeptics among the residents, as many said the alert failed to reach their phones in time. The alert system was faulty. An investigation was launched to assess the alert system of the disaster. More than 100 people died in this disaster and left survivors no explanation to why they were not notified sooner as the situation spiraled out of control. As a result, people only dealt with minutes to safely evacuate their homes and grab important articles as a fire began roaring toward their homes. Well, what system was in place? The Wireless Emergency Alert System, introduced in 2012 with the goal of providing a unified, standardized platform for federal, state, and local agencies to communicate about severe weather and impending disasters and abductions of children. It has been said it will take years for the once beautiful and glorious town of Lahaina to rebuild, and an indefinite amount of time until the homeowners may begin rebuilding. From Senator Angus McKelvey of West Maui, he gave an update on the ongoing recovery efforts and said that, quote, it's going to take like 10 or 20 years with the way things are going for Lahaina to come back online. Well, how are tsunami alerts issued? Well, it's managed by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, where with its warning centers, which use tsunami forecast models in conjunction with seismic and sea level network data to continuously improve the messaging with more precise, focused, and detailed information. Within that, there are 4 levels of tsunami alerts in the United States: information statement, watch, advisory, and warning. When these centers issue tsunami warnings, they are broadcast through local radio and television, wireless emergency alerts, NOAA weather radio, and NOAA websites like tsunami.gov. They may also come through outdoor sirens, local officials, text message alerts, and telephone notifications. To wrap this up, the shocking event of the 2011 Japan earthquake left the country in a devastating aftermath, leaving over 18,000 dead, displacing many residents living in coastal communities. In the event of 4 shocks, they are classified after the big one hits the same area. We were able to define a tsunami as the raging set of waves that are generated by earthquakes or volcanic eruptions below the sea. Serving as a critical tool for emergency warnings, the significance of mobile alert systems is monumental and deserves to be trusted by the public. And lastly, I'd like to recommend for how you may prepare for tsunami by visiting the National Tsunami Hazard Mitigation Program website.